You ever feel like there's a little man inside of you? I mean, you know, just kind of a little guy that wants to kind of get away with some stuff, but at the same time, a little guy that wants to be good. I think we're going to look this morning, as we look in Matthew chapter 12, we'll be headed there in just a second, about this little man that kind of, he wants to do right. It's... Have you ever seen one of the little fellers, you know, when you say, don't touch that, and then they kind of look at you in the eye, and they do it this way, they just ease it. It's in slow motion saying, I know they said don't, but slow motion. Inside them, all of a sudden, there's just something that just begins to kind of holler out. But you know, isn't that the way we are? Many times in our life, we want to live and to do what's right, but there is a battle going on inside. All of us have this little man inside of us. Well, and all of us have a story. Let's see what this guy's story is.
He goes, don't judge a book by its cover. And it's true. Don't look at that person who ends up next to you and say, that person is way too different from me. I could not invite him to my church. I can't have my friends see me bringing this guy in. We need to see others as Christ sees them, with a holy compassion for the lost. You know what? We all need God, no matter what the person looks like, or how different they are from you. As Christians, we are responsible to reach out to those around us. Their eternity depends on it. We need to stop worrying about the opinions of others. We need to open our eyes. New opportunities are put in front of us every single day to come out of our comfort zone, open our mouths, and speak these simple words.
Hey man, if you're not doing anything this weekend, check this out. We're doing something cool at our church.
Is the strong man bound in you? Every one of us, we have a strong man, by the way. We're not talking about a weakling. We're not talking about wimping out. We're talking about a strong man. Every one of us. I like to kind of call that strong man by my Uncle John Will's middle name. Will. It was Uncle John Will Gillis, but his middle name was Will. So I'm going to call this guy inside of me Will, because there is really a word connection right there. We'll call him Will, inside of us, and we're going to be looking at him. But in order for us to see this strong man that's inside of us that we're going to call Will this morning, we need to recognize a few things. First of all, we need to recognize who we really are, that you are somebody very special in the sight of God. And your body, oh, your body, man, is a temple. We have big temples, we have little temples, but all of our bodies are temples. We are temples. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Wow, isn't that amazing? That when I look at you, I may see the outer covering, in all kind of different ways. But inside of you, if I really see you, I see God's temple. God is dwelling. If you're a believer, God is dwelling inside of you, but you are a more complex person. Every one of you. Sometimes we talk about the women being complex. Me and you are too. Because you're complex, because you're made up of three different areas. Number one, your body is a complex triad of the body, the soul, and the spirit. That's who you are. If I looked inside of you, this is where Will lives. Will lives inside of you because there's the body, there's the soul, and there's the spirit. The body connects to the physical world that's around us. The soul connects to the social world, the emotional world that is around us, and the spirit connects to God, to the God world that is around us. So in each side of you, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your spirit, your soul, and your body. Now, when you look at that person next to you, what do you see? Do you see the spirit? No. Do you see the soul? Well, you see the characteristic, the personality of the person. Do you see the physical body? Yes. Yes. So when you look at that person, I want you to remember that that person is a complex person made in the image of God Almighty Himself. Now, inside of you, your body has a strong man living in you. And I would say, ladies, maybe you've got a strong woman inside of you, okay? So let's just put it like that. I'm going to use it from the generic sense. You have a strong man living inside of you. And we're going to call his name Will. Matthew, let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 29. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 29. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? That's where Will lives. Will is the strong man. And the strong man is the one that lives inside of you. But first, if Satan, by the way, this is what Satan wants to do. Satan wants to attack your body, to rob you of your rewards. Did you know that he can do that? Did you know that Satan can attack you? Now, what do we know about Satan? We know that he's a thief. In John 10:10, says, the thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. But Satan is coming along to steal and to kill and destroy. Here's a troubling verse. 2 John 1:8. Look to yourself that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Look to yourself for the works that you have done so that you might not lose the reward of those works. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to come along and he wants to bind Will and he wants to rob him of those things that are in his house. He wants to take away from him. He's a thief. He's a robber. He wants to kill and he wants to destroy. Well, you might begin to ask yourself, wait a minute. I don't want Will to be destroyed. I don't want to lose my rewards. I want Will to stand strong. And each one of us, that is the desire of our heart, that we stand strong. But Will struggles. Like the little girl that tripped his brother and hit him with a broom. Mama came up to him and said, daughter, why did you do that? Why did you let the devil trip your brother? He's crying now. Why did you let the devil trip your brother and you hit him with a broom? And she said, well, Mama, he says, it might have been the devil's idea to trip him, but it was my idea to hit him with a broom. So I think that's Will inside of us. That's struggle. That's going on inside of each of us. How do we protect the strong man? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verse 8. Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Philippians chapter 4, begin reading with verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. How are we going to keep Will in check? How is Will going to do what he really wants to do? Will really wants to maintain and be the strong man. How can he do that? By, first of all, by protecting your thought world. You've got to protect your thought world. Well, what are you supposed to think about? Anything that's good, pure, a virtue, good report, lovely? Now, is that what you concentrate? Is that what you're thinking about? It's a struggle. Because all I have to do is say two words and your mind will change. Two words. Okay, watch this. You ready? Two words and your attitude's going to change. You ready for that? Roll Tide. Got it? See what I mean? Boy, the hands come up. Yeah, we got you, brother. And all of a sudden, you know, it all just kind of changes. It all. Well, thinking. Thoughts. Are they good thoughts? If you're going to protect that strong man inside of us, you've got to protect your thought world. Secondly, you've got to protect your spiritual growth. Look in verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. In other words, if we're going to protect our spiritual growth, if Will is going to be able to stand strong against the onslaughts of the devil, what's Will got to do? Will's got to concentrate, and he's got to do some things. What did you hear in your Sunday school class? What did you hear in your quiet time this morning? What did you hear, or what did you see as somebody walked the straight walk and walked before you and loved somebody and cared somebody and forgave somebody? What did you see the power of God working in the lives of the individual? What did you see? If you saw it, then he says, do it. You see, we all know a lot more of what to do than what we actually do. And so if we're going to protect Will, if Will's going to stay strong, we've got to protect our spiritual growth. By the way, do you have a quiet time? Do you have this moment in which just you and God get together and read a verse or pray or listen to a song and worship Him through that song? Do you have that moment where you and God, is that protected? Listen, folks, I honestly know this, that when I feed on the Word in a daily quiet time, that Will is stronger. If I don't feed on a daily quiet time, Will becomes weak and much more exposed to the devil coming along. What? You need to protect your thought world. You need to protect your spiritual world. And number three, you need to protect your peace with God. The latter part of verse 9 says, and the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace shall be with you. Okay? That's what's going to happen. Can you do those three things? Sure you can. You can protect your thought world. You can protect your spiritual growth. And you can protect your peace with God. Now, what we're going to do is this is a two-part series. And we're going to deal with part one today. Part one is going to establish several things. Number one, we're going to see how Jesus taught by example. And we're going to look at three groups of people. And then we're going to see in part one that Jesus taught with reasoning. And as he teaches with reasoning, all of a sudden we're going to see two kingdoms coming into conflict. And then we're going to boil it down and we're going to get to you as an individual, a strong man. And that strong man is where Will lives. Next week, part two, we're going to see that Jesus taught by warning, and we're going to look at the unpardonable sin. Jesus taught by decision, and there's going to be a fruit inspection time. And then Jesus taught to look inside the heart. We're going to study the treasures that are in your heart, what Satan so wants to steal and rob. And then we're going to look into the future and the mirror of the words that are going to be before you. So what you're going to do this morning, you're going to read about, in just a moment, we're going back to chapter 12. You're going to read about group one. Group one is going to be decided like this. You're going to have a man, and when you look at this man, you're going to say he's a common-looking man. But if you look real close in his eyes, he can't see. And if you want to hear him speak, he can't speak. Group one is labeled as this, a man with a demon. So therefore, it's a group because there's two. You're going to see group one. You're going to see a man, and you're going to see a demon. Group two. You're going to see another group that's going to come along, and these are going to be the observers. Group two says, hey, we have seen the demon possessed man healed by Jesus Christ, is not this the Son of God? And so see, therefore, group two says we are the observers. We see the power of God, but what are we going to do with it? That's what group two is going to do. And then group three is going to come along, and it's going to be a group of snakes. Jesus called them vipers. Group three is going to come along and say, no, man, he is not of God. He cast out demons by the prince of demons, Beelzebub. Three groups. All of a sudden, we'll boil out of these three groups. And then we're going to look and we want to sense and feel presence of the kingdom of God. Because I want you to know that Jesus knows the thoughts of men, how to deal with the physical. Jesus knows the fundamental of the community, how to deal with the social. Jesus knows the kingdom of God, how to deal with the spiritual. And finally, we're going to ask you to make a commitment of will who lives inside of you to stand with Jesus. To stand with Jesus and to build inside the kingdom, to reach the lost. And if you are lost, we're going to ask you to be saved today. We're going to ask you also to restore those who are rebellious and to encourage citizens in the kingdom of God. But the real question this morning is the strong man inside of you bound? Is the strong man inside of you bound? Is will bound this morning? Turn with me to chapter 12. We're going back to Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to pick it up with verse 22. Matthew 12:22. Then there was brought unto him one possessed with a devil. And in the King James Version, when you see the word devil, that is the Greek word demoniac, it is the word demon. A man possessed with a demon, blind and dumb, and he healed him. Inasmuch as the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. Group one, Jesus taught by example. How are you going to be free? You've got to concentrate on how Jesus is teaching. Look at this man. An outside source, a demonic, a demon, enters into the body. He binds will. And did you know what can happen when the demonic comes inside of you? It can affect you physically. It's a fact. It's a fact. Satan was so strong, a demon, one or more, we don't know. I know at least one. He controlled his eyesight. He controlled his tongue. He had to bind will for this to happen. When we allow and when we deal with the occult, when we deal with Ouija board, when we deal with astrology, when we deal with Satanism, Wicca, and things along like this, all of a sudden, we open up ourselves for the occult to come in, take possession. Many times, I think what we see in the world of alcoholism, I think what we see in the world of drugs, I think what we see in the world of some psychiatric units is not somebody that's physically sick. I think it's demonic control. I think it's where a demon comes in, binds the will, controls the eyesight. It can control the tongue. It can control the hearing. And you say, well, how can that happen? If the strong man is bound, then the evil one can rob. What does he do? How do you handle that? The scripture says that Jesus healed him. He healed him. He broke the power of this fallen angel. Hey, every one of you got a story. Every one of you have a story of how the power was broken. I could do it like this. I could ask like this. Who influenced you to come to know Jesus Christ? I could go around the room and each one of you would have an answer. Somebody influenced you to receive Christ. Somebody helped you become strong so that you accept Christ. Well, there may be those who are part of group two. Group two, let's listen to group two in verse 23. And all the people were amazed and said, "Is not this the son of David?" Wow. You got to know these guys right here. These were intelligent guys. I mean, they were challenged by a real-time experience. They had a knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. They said, "Hey, the Messiah is coming, and somebody's going to come in the name and the authority like David, and he's going to cast out demons and all this power. Isn't this the Son? Isn't this the Messiah? Isn't this the promised one?" You see, what happens is, when you experience the power of God, you got to make a decision. Jesus teaches for decision. For instance, the other night when we were at the FCA rally and 38 young people gave their life to Jesus Christ, made professions of faith, we saw the power of God at work. And when we saw the power of God at work, each of us had to make a decision. Is this the Messiah? If it is, then we follow the teachings of the Word. If it's not, then we reject and rebel. When I was over in Ivano Frankice, 18 women, superior to my age, sitting around a table. We fed them, presented the gospel, and 18 women received Jesus Christ in a foreign land. We saw the power of God. So therefore, is this not the Messiah? Is this not David? The one that's going to come like David? Is this Jesus? Is he the Messiah? See, people are asking questions. What do you do with the power when you see it? What do you do when you observe it? What do you do when a couple, all of a sudden, their marriage just hits the rocks, and they turn and they built their marriage on the solid rock, and you see a difference? What do you do when you see that? You got to make a decision. Is this the Messiah? Is this Jesus? Is this the power of God at work? And if it's the power of God at work, I either accept it or reject it. A man makes a decision lying in a hospital bed, and he says, "When I get up out of this bed, I'm going to live right. And if I ever go back, God just killed me. I'm going to live right." You got to make a decision. Is this the power of God on this person's life? Or is this just wishful thinking? Will, inside of you, each one of us makes the decision. Because that leads us to this defining moment. And we come up to group three. Look in verse 24. You'll see group three. "But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'This fellow doth not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, the prince of demons.'" What is happening? Group three, highly educated. They're known as the Pharisees. Highly educated. Scripturally stout. Traditionally strong. Morally rotten to the core. And what did they say? They said they looked upon the power of God who had healed this man from the demons. Result is that he spake, he talked, he could hear, he could see. They saw the power of God and they said, "No, it's not the power of God. It is the power of Beelzebub, prince of demons." Group three. Three groups there. One man, demon-possessed, healed. Another man, asking questions. And another man diminishing the power of God is at work. And what did Jesus say about these guys? Matthew 15, 14 said, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." So if the observers listen, if they listen, they're going to hit the ditch eventually. Number two, Jesus taught with reasoning. With reasoning. Now, how's that? Jesus comes along and said, division brings destruction. Two kingdoms. Let's look at this in verse 25. "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand.'" Whoa, we ought to just camp out right there. If a nation is divided, what's going to happen? It's going to fall. Go back 145 years ago, and what did we have? We had the Civil War. Our nation was divided. They had to settle it, or it would not stand. They settled it with bloods and guts. And in the course of time, we became one nation under God, indivisible. But if a nation is divided, it shall not, cannot stand. Then you go to your local government. Your local government. If the local government is divided, what's going to happen to the community? It's going to fall, folks. It's not going to grow. It's not going to build. It's not going to be productive. If there's bickering and biting and fighting back and forth, the community will never be the community that God wants. That is a principle. But then he carries it one step further. What about the house? What about the house? The Bible says that if the house is divided, it cannot stand. That's the reason why if a man and a woman are not coming together, that house, that home, is headed for the ditch. If the house is divided, it cannot stand. That's a principle. If you followed that principle and if you carried it back into the book of Proverbs, you would see many interesting thoughts. But let's continue on. Let's focus right here. All of a sudden, we see now here's the kingdom principle. Division brings destruction. And the observation right here was these men said in verse 26 and 27, Jesus said, "And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be their judges." Hey, wait a minute. Here's the point. They were casting out demons. Satan is not going to cast out and work against his own kingdom. So therefore, if Satan is not working against his own kingdom, then it must be another force, and that other force must be God. Because Satan cannot have a divided kingdom or it will not stand, and Satan knows that. So he's not going to cast out demons from his own self. Can the power of Satan be broken? Can the demons of hell be defeated? 1 John 3:8. "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So what is the logical conclusion? Look in verse 28. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come upon you. And what are we looking at right here? If I do it, you've got one kingdom. See, you're wrestling with two kingdoms. You got the kingdom of God, and you got the kingdom of Satan. Are there two? Yeah, the Bible says that Satan is the prince of the air, the god of this world. He has his kingdom, he has his dupe, he has his followers. And Jesus, in a little bit, is going to tell us either you're for me or against me. He says you're going to be a part of one of the kingdoms. Either you're going to be working for the kingdom of God, or you're going to be working for the kingdom of the devil. You are a part of that. Will is struggling. He's struggling. Because there's two kingdoms. When you choose the kingdom of God, there's only one Lord. When you choose the kingdom of God, Satan's got to bow. When you choose the kingdom of God, there's only one authority. When you choose the kingdom of God, then you follow the ways and the word of God. And will comes under submission to God. And will stand. How is that? Well, the question is the strong man inside of you bound? Let's look at the last point. Jesus taught by application. And here's the application. Here's the principle. Let's read it in verse 29. "Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil the house?" How can this happen? The principle is this. You must bind the powerful before you can remove his treasures. You must bind the powerful, the strong man, before you can remove his treasures. So as we bring it down, Amos says, how can two walk except they agree? If we're going to walk, if we're going to talk, if we're going to work together, we got to stand strong with Jesus Christ. And the conclusion is the strong man bound in you? Really, I guess I'm trying to ask that question. There were three groups. We know those three groups. There was the man that was demon-possessed. He was free. There was the man observing the power of God and wanting to know, is this really the way of God? And then there were the snakes, the Pharisees. And we know that there's two kingdoms now. We know there's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. But it comes down to one man, a strong man, inside of you. Is he bound? And is Satan destroying your rewards? Or is the strong man standing strong in the power of God, and you're receiving the rewards, and you're walking strong, and you're walking tall with Jesus Christ? If the strong man is not bound, that means he's free. And if he's free, then what is he to do? One, he needs to build inside the kingdom. Either you're building the kingdom or you're tearing it down. If the strong man is free, he'll build inside of the kingdom. Two, he will reach the lost. Three, he will restore the rebellious. Four, he will encourage citizens in the kingdom of God. And which is it for you? As I spoke, maybe even told this last week, but it's so fresh on my mind. When R.B. Brown went to see Billy Graham, six men were around the bed. And Billy Graham had this huge Bible, and he was reading from it. After all the men were surrounding him, he eased the Bible down, and each man, one at a time, he went around his bed, and he said, "What is your favorite scripture, and why? Why is it so important to me?" Here's the man of God. He's weak in the flesh, possibly not being able to get out of the bed. But he's strong in the spirit. You might be weak on the outside, but Will on the inside is strong as the day was born. And if he's strong, build the kingdom. Build the kingdom. Let's pray. Father, help us to build the kingdom. Help us to defeat the enemy. Help us to overcome, Lord, Satan, and not let him bind the inner man. And let us be free, God, in the power and the working of the Holy Spirit. Father, we want to be free. We want to stand tall. So, Lord, right now I pray for this group of people. I pray that each one of us, Lord, would just take a moment and look inside and outside and say, is Will free in me, or is Will bound? Am I being robbed, or am I building in the kingdom? Father, for those who are bound, we pray for freedom. For those who are being influenced by the demonic, I pray, God, for freedom. Jesus, you cast out the demon, and the man could see and speak and hear all of these things. Jesus, what about today? What about today? Your congregation, Lord, we lift them up to you. Lord, speak to our hearts. Move on us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand together in a moment. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And in this invitation, you answer one question. Is Will bound or is Will free? That's the question. Inside of me, is the Will bound or is the Will free? If it's free, exercise it, enjoy it, and love it. But if it's bound, find freedom today. How do you do that? The same way that this man did. He went to Jesus, and Jesus will set you free. If you need to give your life to Jesus, I encourage you to come. You want somebody to pray? There's many people around here that would love to pray with you. I'll pray with you. Others will pray with you. Prayer altars are going to be open today for you. Let's stand together and sing.